Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, 3-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is going to be your best friend. Very simple. They're going to help you find the home that you're looking for, right? No compromises. It's possible. They're going to take you through why, you know, it might be the right time for you to buy a home. Don't let the interest rates scare you off. Could be a great time for you to start building your own equity, building your own net worth instead of paying for somebody else's. But you got to take that first step. You got to reach out to our friends at Live Love, sold at livelove.com.
Yep. I told you it might look like magic. It certainly did to me what they made my Raleigh home look like back in 2018 when I sold it. When Jennifer said, this is what we're going to get for it, I did not believe her. And it's precisely what she got. She's great at hitting the nail on the head when it comes to getting top dollar for your home. And right off the bat, not going to be on the market for long, having to decrease price, because Jen knows how to price and how to get exactly that. And then, as John said, on the home buying side, certainly experienced that as well. We'll help you find that dream home, get you in a great situation for you and for your family, because she's family. Family here in Memphis. And for those of you in renting situations, get out. You may not even know that you can. You won't know, though, until you make the call. 901-625-5200 might be just the right time to jump on out into home ownership. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. I tweeted out the screenshot, Jason, of the AAC being ranked behind CUSA.
Yep.
And I do want to apologize to Ed Scott, who has just been absolutely bombarded with tweets in the mentions there. But again, hey.
Well, it's a reality. But choices. Again, you know, Ed called the Big East.
He called. He needs to.
He would have liked a better deal from the Pac-12. And
make some calls, man. This is unacceptable. Can't stay here. Got to go. This thing is falling apart. This thing's falling apart fast. You could say you have the resources and things like that, but dude, CUSA, it's MTSU, it's Kennesaw State, I mean, it's UTEP, I mean, it's just
teams that you have left.
Yeah, man, like this is embarrassing.
Teams
in every
that you
way.
Left once long ago.
You know, so tough one for our man Dan Wolken, who said that in 2019, the AAC will surpass the Big East in basketball.
Good grief.
That was a tough one.
All it's done is died on the vine. It's gone from being a pretty darn good conference. I mean, remember, at one point you had Louisville for a year, but gone for pretty, you know, you did have Cincy. You had UConn there for a minute. You had Houston. Yeah. It's dying.
Yeah, it's dying.
We're seeing it get weaker and weaker. That's the trajectory. So when Doster comes on, again, I appreciate him, and he watches more college basketball than I do, that this is cyclical. No, it's been a trend, both for CUSA on the way up and you on the way down.
Exactly.
I mean, Dusty Mays and those kind of coaches leave. Your best hope is that these schools, maybe like we saw in AAC football this year, how many got fired? 6?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to get serious about who your leaders are.
Yep.
Go out and spend some real money, and that's the way you can turn it around, because right now it does look like Memphis is trapped.
Absolutely right. And no insight. But, you know, who knows? We shall see. There was some good news, though, up at, was it ESPN?
Yeah, ESPN. Our man, Jeff Borzello and Myron Metcalf, put together a list of men's basketball coach of the year rankings, a top 15 earlier today. and down at number 12.
Okay.
Memphis Tigers coach Penny Hardaway. Here's a little bit of what they say. After last season's collapse, Hardaway and the Tigers entered this year with minimal expectations. Ours were make the tournament.
Yep.
Coming off a season in which they went from the top 10 in January to missing the postseason entirely, losing 8 of their final 15 games, their entire roster departed, leaving just one returnee. And then Hardaway fired 3 assistant coaches and a 4th staff member 2 months before the season. It was a considerable hot seat. There was considerable hot seat chatter surrounding Hardaway. The Tigers weren't even picked to win a depleted AAC, but now he and his rebuilt roster of Memphis in the top 25 with an elite collection of wins, Michigan State, Ole Miss, Missouri, UConn, and Clemson. The Tigers are the overwhelming favorites to win the AAC and get, I guess this would be the key point, their best NCAA tournament seed of the Hardaway era. That's what we're hoping, that they don't, the Tigers do not squander this chance to get out of that 8-9 spot, get into a 5, and have a much better road to a deeper run in the tournament. It's what we're all hoping for. Games like last night don't make you feel real confident about that, but John and Doster ultimately are right. It was a win. And in the end, whether it's winning, you know, ugly, pretty, whatever you're doing, that's all that matters. And particularly in college basketball, nobody's going to go back and review the tape of that win, that win against Wichita State, and go look at your 20 turnovers and say, wow, that was bad. You know, put it behind you. Don't watch the tape and go out and have a much better effort. You figure it's going to have to be against UAB on Sunday. But good company for Penny Hardaway to be in. He is above, at least according to Metcalf and Borzello, Rick Barnes.
Yeah.
And the job he's doing at Tennessee this year, they've got Rick Barnes at 14. And the aforementioned Dusty May, who leaves the FAU and the AAC, an even drier conference, by going to Michigan, he's 15th. Number one, take a guess.
Pat Kelsey?
They got Bruce Pearl number one.
Okay.
I saw your man Kelsey, though. He's in here. He is at number 7.
Okay.
A coach that you feel very good about, or did 2 years ago, that has rebounded this year, that you, his first season, you said, watch this guy. He's number 5, SEC.
That
brother.
Oh, Dennis Gates.
Number 5 on the list. And I love to see it. Absolutely love to see it for Dennis Gates. Again, what is this, year 3? And he's got them on track to make their second tournament in 3 years. Todd Golden's 4 with the Gators. They have been good this year. West Virginia, was that DeVries?
Oh, DeVries, yep.
They're number 3. And then he's got Shire number 2 behind Bruce Pearl. Would you agree with the top 3 there?
I mean, I guess.
Pearl, man. Shire, DeVries. From your guess, we would judge that you'd have Pat Kelsey in your top 3.
Well,
Louisville coach. That was a hot mess of a program he had inherited.
I mean, Duke is like.
Got them back respectable.
Who would not be 16-2 with Duke's roster?
Right. It's not a matter of overachieving whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, but
Bruce was loaded too, though.
You know who I would have up there that I didn't hear you say?
Who?
Mark Pope.
Pope is down here and maybe a little low at 10.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think Pope should be up there in the top 5 just because, I mean, first year with a brand-new group, you know, no, like, number 1 overall pick or anything like that. I mean, he's kind of made it come together and play his style of basketball in the first season. They beat Duke, you know, in a neutral site. Like, what more does that man need to do? I mean, I know they lost to Bama at home, but, I mean, outside of that, you know, you beat Florida, you know, you beat Mississippi State there, you beat A&M. I mean, that guy's not as good a job as anybody in America.
One spot ahead of Penny Hardaway at number 11, Chris Jans, Mississippi State coach.
Yeah, Jans did a great job, too. I mean, that Mississippi State roster is, like, not all that compelling from a talent perspective. They got Hubbard, but... You know, outside of that, you know, it's a bunch of guys that just kind of defend and know their roles, and so yeah, I mean, they've lost 3 of their last 4. I mean, they've kind of slipped here a little bit lately, but no shame in losing to Kentucky.
Ole Miss has done the same thing, but I tell you, Chris Beard's done a hell of a job there. They've got him as sort of an honorable mention, not in the top 15, among some others, but I think the same thing about Ole Miss, the job he's done this year.
Yeah,
you know, I know they're coming off of an L game they should have won, but. Chris Beard would be in my top 15.
Yeah.
If I told you that Ole Miss has the best combo of basketball coach, football coach that it will ever have in its history, is that just...
No, I totally agree. Because they've never had a great hire in basketball, ever.
Chris Beard's going to be the best basketball coach.
Yeah.
And we know why they've got him.
I mean, and Lane's probably their best football
coach. And Lane is going to be, as far as I'm concerned, like, that's as good a football coach as you're going to get in that spot. That's why, I mean, if you're an Ole Miss fan right now,
yeah,
I figured you got the best you're ever going to get it.
100%.
On both sides in terms of the coaches that you've got in those spots right now.
Yeah.
And Chris Beard won't be there for long, but what you've got right now.
Right.
And where's Kiffin going to go?
It would have to be like a top five job at this point. I mean,
he can get to the college football playoff.
Yep.
And if he's got the right ingredients, he could win that damn thing.
Yeah.
From Ole Miss.
Totally. So I don't think he's got. I don't think he's going anywhere now. You got the revenue sharing. I mean, all these.
I mean,
SEC
their situation is
kind of
great right now.
Totally.
Just looking at the football and the basketball coach.
They're in a great spot. I agree with that. Yes, Ole Miss is. It's they're in their golden age right now. Now let me ask you this: while we're on the topic of coaching, and coaches, this is a personal issue, but it is one that I am grappling with, and as a still new dad. Who has not been through a lot of these situations, I would like to run my dilemma by you a little bit. My wife, and this is happening as we speak, my wife has signed Riley up for T-ball.
Okay.
Right? It's just the natural order of things, right?
Yep.
You play soccer, you play T-ball.
I remember those days.
Right? And my wife, I don't remember where it is, but my wife really wants me to coach. She really wants me to be a coach on the team. Now, I don't really know what to make of that. I don't know if I have the temperament. I don't know if I would be good with other. I don't know what the qualifications are.
Yeah.
You know, and so she just texted me 5 minutes ago, and she asked again. She said, you know, you don't want to coach the T-ball team, right? And we all know what that means. I mean, she wants me.
She
to coach
wants you
the team.
To step up.
Right. But at the same time, do I even have any idea what I'm doing, you know, as a coach? I can coach my child. I can definitely do that. That's easy. What about my responsibility is not just to my child, though,
right.
To take that job.
Right.
So, I mean, have you been in a situation like this? And
I have. I've been asked to coach.
And what is your consensus here?
Turn it down.
Say no.
Not worth it.
Not worth it.
You have to be quite a person.
To be a youth coach?
Yeah. And you are not built for it. I'm going to tell you, and maybe you'll surprise us all, shock us all, but there's two things here. Number one, you're too damn sick all the time.
Very
we
good
can't
point.
Have that around the children.
That's right.
Right? And then number two, you are, let's be real, man, when it comes to sports and those kind of things, man, you tear things down.
Absolutely.
You don't build up.
No.
And in that role, especially with the kiddies at that age, you want to be an encourager.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of goes against your nature.
Oof.
You're more of a guy that calls it like it is, and if it's bad and it's going to be bad with them kids,
yeah,
you're going to say, no, that was bad. No, no, no.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of that out there. And then, again, knowing your patience level.
Oh, my God.
Very low level of
patience. I don't even like feeding my son a bottle.
I just see that could be. That could be like adding Jimmy Butler to the Grizzlies. It could explode on you like a volcano, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying, in a bad way.
Yeah.
So I would try to get healthy.
Yeah,
if
that,
you were
yeah.
even going to try to embark on something like this.
Right.
And show Sam the kind of goodness you do have inside.
Absolutely.
That we haven't seen.
Yeah.
That we don't expect.
Right.
If you're going to do that, just be first get healthy and then be an encourager.
Yeah.
Be ready for some bad stuff.
You know, the question is like what? Do you need to? What do you do as a coach of a
team? It's just about the swing, and you just say good job. That's all you say all day long. Good job, even when it's bad, you're going to have a problem with that because you're Mr. Call it like it is. And again, if it's bad, you're going to let them know. And sometimes you will harp on it, like you're doing with Penny in that loss last night. You understand? Get over it. They won.
Yeah.
What you're doing is good job and clapping. That ain't you, bro.
Well, I mean,
that has never been you, and you're rough with children.
Now, I have been rough with children in the past. There's no doubt about that.
Well, in terms of like DDT in them and all that, they ain't built for that yet.
Yeah, no, I mean, look.
So I think Sam doesn't understand what she's asking.
Now, I will say this: we went to a
who she's asking.
We went. She does soccer shots. You know, she does. She's.
I know about
soccer
shots.
Again.
A great program.
Great program, and she does it every Monday. And I took her last Monday, and it's indoors. And we had a scrimmage. It was a 2-on-2 scrimmage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she got paired up with an absolute like with Ronaldinho. I mean, this guy was a ringer, all right? Like I've never
seen
before.
They're out there.
And he was scoring all the time. He was scoring all the time, and she wasn't touching the ball, and she you know literally crossed her arms, you know, on the court and kind of stomped and was like mad that she wasn't getting the ball at all. And so I had to call her over during the water break. She came over. I said, hey, it's not all just about scoring in this game.
Right.
It's about assisting.
Yeah.
You made a great play as a defender.
This is a good speech.
You know? So even though the glory goes to the scorer, there's a lot of little things that go into that. And that's where you come in, right?
Right.
Maybe you don't get the headlines, but you're doing all the small things to help your team win.
Role player.
Now, that was pretty good. I was proud of myself for that.
So Riley is Elijah McFadden.
Absolutely. We're just hoping that she doesn't bite on the three-point fake.
That was costly.
You know, so that's kind of where we're at. So I don't know. I mean, but if I'm going to have to be there, which I will have to be there as her parent, is there an argument to be made for just...
Just stay on the sidelines, bro. Just stick to the root, and I'm telling you.
I would not want to do
that. And then you, again, the responsibility of, you have to lead other people's children.
That's
and
right.
No, it's not, they're going to be there most of the time. They're practicing right. Everything else. So
is
they're
there,
not just
is there practice?
It's not complete. Of course there's practice.
Oh,
practice you're going to have to get up for and go to, and you're not going to want to do it.
I'm not leading
half
practice.
The time.
I'm not doing that. I mean, unpaid. The kids.
But my point is that they hand their children over to you, and then you are to lead them. And then what happens when those children don't do what you ask? Again, you're going to question yourself and your ability to get these kids in a line.
Yes, I am.
And then when they still don't do it because you've exerted more effort and put it, oh, they should be in line, then you're going to start judging that kid's parents.
I'll be in that
you'll be like,
Dan Hurley.
This kid needs more home training. This kid shouldn't be out here. And it just gets real.
Don't you turn your back on me.
Exactly, man.
I'm the best coach in this sport. That's what I'd be like, you know? Yeah, I don't know. The practice thing is really
you'll
off-putting.
You'll pick favorites. You'll tear kids down. I just don't see you being a positive influence out there. I'd like to know that you're capable of showing us different. But
I don't know.
I have my doubts.
I think the practice commitment is the big thing for me. It's like I don't know if I can commit to that. You know,
dude, it's one time a week with T-ball. You just... teaching some 4-5-year-olds how to swing a bat.
Oh, sounds absolutely awful.
And field it.
Sounds awful. It does. I mean,
you're going to have to get more involved, bro.
I know.
Can't just hang out with Hasseltine all night.
Look, I appreciate it.
You
got to
start spending time with your family and being a coach.
Dude, I'm at home all the time. People keep acting. I get all these DMs from people. Like, there's this guy on Twitter who will, like, he's a troll. And he DMs me. He says occasionally, like, I have a drinking problem. Like, he tries to allude to me having a drinking problem. Bro, I'm at home, I say 80% of the time. 80% of the time I'm at home. I really am. I mean, I struggle a little bit when Riley was born? Like, I had to adjust to, like, not going out as much, for sure. But I'm definitely, like, a homebody now. I'm not quite Jay Smooth mode, where it's like I don't see the light of day. But I'm closer there today than I've ever been. So... I still get sick, so it don't even matter. Like, it don't even make a damn bit of difference. But yeah, I think I got to tell the truth.
Youth coaching is hard. You got to be built.
It really is, man.
And you don't, there's the reward is just you won't get a ton of it. The reward is watching the kids actually. You know, if you've got the patience for it, watching them grow. But it's for you, who likes sort of his reward in check form and going into the bank account, I don't sense that this is going to be rewarding for you.
No, yeah, because it's probably going to cost me money in terms of my availability and stuff like that. Like,
oh, that's just going. These kids going to cost me my money.
Yeah, like,
yeah, you're not built for it.
I'm
glad we could come to it. You know,
if they need me to like be offer like I'll be like the team chaplain. That's what I'll do. I'll be the chaplain.
You should have just told Sam the real. Who you asking?
You know, I'll be like...
You know you're asking the wrong one.
I'll be like that bishop that Trump was in the front row for. That's who I'll be. I'll be the team chaplain. But past that, it's probably limited. It's probably limited, man. I'm just being honest. Where I'm at, my career, got a lot of stuff going on. Got a lot of this, that, the others. So, I don't know. I'm probably not the right fit for the job. But I appreciate you telling me because I haven't. This is the first time I've been asked, and I've been confronted about it. So, I didn't know if it was a path you had traveled down.
Well, what I will warn you of, and maybe put a bow on this though, is that you have a lot of jobs, a lot of time commitments. What you don't want to do is whether it's there as a coach or there as a parent is miss it. You're only going to get one time at this.
That's right.
And so you don't want to be. And I know you're a great provider and everything else. And that's part of what you're doing, why you work so many damn jobs.
That's right.
But what you don't want to do, bro, is work your way through time that you don't get back where you're not at those games, at those practices, because that's what you want. That when they get older, you want them to be able to say, Daddy was there. Dad, and those memories, Dad was in those stands or Dad was coaching me. Like you do that's more valuable than anything in terms of you can give them in terms of anything else. That sort of dad, that support. Dad was there. So that's why I get you. You know how much I admire your work ethic and everything else. I know how much you're busting your ass, but you want to find a balance, bro.
Well,
I know we convince ourselves we do that we have to do that to take care of family.
Yeah.
And that part is true, but we need to find a balance to where we can also be with family.
Exactly.
Because you can be absent being there just because you got so much.
Oh, yeah.
Going on
no, that's a real, that's a pandemic, man.
I'm just putting that on your brain.
That's
there.
Real.
No, don't work yourself into a. You know,
I got. I definitely got to get better about that.
Yeah, so be ready for the rest of Riley and Dom.
But yeah, Coach Martin, I think that's probably going to have to wait. That's going to have to wait.
Just be dad, while. Dad, John Martin.
All right, we'll come back. Part of the podcast here, we'll talk to him about Memphis basketball. Elliot Perry had some interesting comments today on Twitter. We'll talk to him about that and more. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Part of the podcast covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian. He is on Twitter, on X, at PUPadjai_. Joins us every Friday, and he joins us now. All right, Memphis wins. It was ugly. It was disgusting, which now marks their fifth underperform in six games in the AAC relative to the metrics. Is that kind of where this starts when you think about this game and just the bigger picture with Memphis?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and we talked about it a bit before I got on air, but as poorly as Memphis played, like, if that Wichita State team was even moderately competent offensively, like, that would have been an L, man. 20 turnovers, the Shockers turned those into a grand total of 12 points. 12 points. They had 12 offensive rebounds that turned into 8 second chance points. So if those numbers are even slightly higher, you're looking at either a loss or a really dicey situation down the stretch there.
Yeah, that was, I don't know. I don't know what it is, you know, because... I don't know. You always sort of wondered about this, even during the Michigan State and UConn and Clemson and Ole Miss wins. Like, we know that on the other side of that. But I felt like maybe last night there would be a chance to get up for that one just because it's Kobe's, you know, reunion there.
It's a brand, right?
It's kind of still a brand, barely hanging on by a thread. But, yeah, it didn't happen, man. And again, I didn't really think the Tigers would lose, but it was just like, Why is it so sleepy? You know, it's just these efforts are so sleepy. And, you know, I don't know. Can you just break out of it when you see a real team? You know, is it as easy? I don't know. I don't know if that's possible.
And that's the concern. I was talking to somebody last night after the game, and this person was telling me, well, you know, this team, that's just how they are. Like, they get up for the big opponents with the numbers next to their names, and they play down to lower competition. But, you know, after how many games do these habits kind of stick with you, right, become permanent? Can you just sleepwalk through a non-conference, 18-game non-conference schedule, still win a ton of games, and then all of a sudden you get to March. Are you able to break out of that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some of these turnovers are going to happen because your dependence, it feels like, Parth, on PJ and Tyrese. And we've seen a lot, you know, whether it's ISO or whatever else, and if they're trying to pass to a guy off a jump or whatever, you're going to have a bad situation. I just wonder, you know, so some you have to live with, but when you're now at, you know, Penny Hardaway worked on it all week. We mentioned it off air before you came on. It's five of the six AAC games. It's 15 or more turnovers. How much of it, Dane yesterday, just doing too much dribbling, how much can be cleaned up and how much are you going to have to live with, just in terms of best case scenario here?
Yeah, so Penny talked about that not only to us when he came to the postgame presser, but right after the game, he spoke to Dave Voloshin on that postgame radio interview, and he said, hey, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I've been coaching this team incorrectly, coaching this team wrong, whatever he said there. And what he was alluding to is he's letting too many guys have freedom offensively, letting too many guys who are not named P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter be in positions to make decisions with the basketball, dribble the basketball. And it's not working out well. You know, they've got, we talked about this six-game AAC slate. They've got 101 turnovers, right, in that six-game AAC slate. 57 of them have come from guys not named P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter. That's just too big of a piece of that pie.
100%.
Not coming from guys
your answer
whose
my question.
Main role is to handle the basketball.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much you can change. Do you think Dane being in the starting lineup would help these starts and the issues there offensively?
I don't think it would help the turnover problem because I think, you know, outside of the guys that we've named, the guys who are, you know, point guards by role, he is up there.
One of the biggest contributors.
He's one of the biggest contributors to the turnover problem. Yeah. But I think offensively, it might help you get off to faster starts because the floor does open up more when you've got Dane, who, you know, although he does turn the ball over, is a pretty good passer and is obviously more of an offensive threat than Musa Cisse is there.
I just don't think it's an issue of defense, right? So even when you see, like, the Dante Harris minutes, it's like he had that three last night that barely hit the bottom of the backboard, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they just need – they need creativity on offense. It's not – I mean, I get it. Defense is part of the game, but I just think they have enough team defenders out there where they'll be fine in this league. It's like you got to find a combination of guys that you know, can get you back in the 70s and 80s, man. This has just been too much of a damn grind. So that's why I like Dane in the starting lineup because, yeah, he'll be a little volatile, but I know that his size and skill is going to lead to points.
Yeah, and I asked Penny about it Wednesday when we spoke to him the day before the Wichita State game last night at the presser about Dane just starting and if that has been considered, and he said it has, but he's still, according to him, kind of pushing and prodding Dane to do the little things, run the floor well, mm-hmm. you know, hustle, get a body on somebody when the ball goes up, when the shot goes up, rather. And I guess until he does those things or until Penny sees those things behind the scenes consistently, it's going to be Musa Cisse in that starting lineup.
What is your concern level about Sunday, knowing, you know, what sort of UAB does do well rebounding the ball, especially on that offensive glass, just in terms of your, I don't know, how up are your antenna about it? You know, not just playing, maybe winning a close one, but possibly really doing damage to yourself and Kennedy coming here and embarrassing you, just in terms of getting a win.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope the Tigers look at this game just like they did UConn or Michigan
more
State
urgency,
or whoever,
right?
With more sense of urgency.
That's the closest thing they'll have the rest of the way.
They were picked preseason. They were picked the favorite, even though we thought it was, you know, and at least to start, it looked like a joke, but they were picked the preseason favorite to win the league.
This is the marquee home game in the conference slate. So I hope the players realize that and you know, have it circled in their head. You know, we talked to the guys afterward. It was PJ Carter and Tyrese Hunter. And, you know, somebody asked PJ Carter, are y'all looking at this any different than you would any other game? Or is there a sense of motivation? Or do you feel some type of way that this team was the projected favorite in this league coming into your building? And he kind of gave an answer that I saw on Twitter people, I guess, weren't too pleased with. He said that, you know, we're looking at every game the same way. We've got goals that are bigger than this, which I guess he's alluding to a March Madness run, right?
Yeah.
Well, you would hope they don't look at it the same way that they have looked at, you know, Temple.
These first six.
And Wichita State, or any of these first six, except for FAU.
FAU, I guess. Yeah, they were focused on the road.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is, what is this, on ESPN at noon, right?
ESPN 2, noon.
ESPN 2. I mean, again, it's the closest thing you're going to have to being able
to
simulate.
It's a big game, man.
I mean, it's huge. I mean, you win this game, you're the odds-on favorite to win the league.
You're in the driver's seat. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you'd have to really blow it to not win the league. And I know that people will say, like, but it's just, I mean, I don't know who they're going to, if they beat UAB and they've already beaten North Texas, like, at some point you just have to say, like, yeah, they're going to do it. And it's not like that's some great achievement. We were talking about this earlier today. Like, this league is ranked behind Conference USA.
10th best league in Division I.
It's like people pitiful. Like, let Memphis win the league first. Okay, even if they do win the league, it's still a joke.
Yeah.
It's still awful. It ain't going to matter whether they win or it's still a joke. So it doesn't make it any less of a joke if Memphis wins. They still have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you can't do it now, I would just
then
assume
when will
never,
you? Right.
You can never do it. I just assume
right.
that. But yeah, I mean, that's if we don't see Memphis' best punch on Sunday, I'll certainly be concerned.
It's just scary because I know Andy Kennedy, and when we joke, and we roast him and stuff, and he said that after the UTSA win, after UAB beat UTSA on Tuesday night, that, hey, we're the hottest team in the country. Yeah, not quite, but he's not like, you know,
he's
not completely off base, right? Like, that team is playing.
They finally won some games, but, I mean.
The team's playing good ball overall.
A bunch of jackasses for the most part.
A bunch of jackasses, yes. I mean, but what I'm saying is UAB is trending upward, Memphis is trending downward, and I think that, just on the surface level, is concerning. Plus, you look at how these teams match up.
Yeah.
And with what UAB does on the glass, especially the offensive glass, you know, it's kind of scary if you're Memphis Tigers.
I think it's interesting the way you put that, though, because, like, Memphis has won six of their last seven games.
Right.
Right? But we have this sort of perception, and this is what Elliot Perry was talking about on Twitter today. You know, we have this perception that they're trending down, even though they've won six of seven. Like, those two things feel at odds with each other.
They do.
You know, like,
they do.
I mean, they've underperformed because the metrics – no question about that, but they've won six of their last seven, including a 17-point home win over Ole Miss. So, like, should we take a step back and say, as ugly as it's been, like, we're probably going a bit far with, you know, the trajectory being, pointing down?
Yeah, and I've thought about that as well, obviously, because at the surface level, like, you know, things are still good, you know, great. Like, if you asked any Tigers fan before the season started, like, on January 24th, you'll be 15-4 and 5-1 in your league and have an All-American candidate at point guard. Like, who wouldn't take that?
Right.
Right? But it feels like we've seen this movie before. Maybe that's unfair to say, but we've seen this pattern before where the Tigers get up and, you know, run through the non-conference and and turn heads and get on the national radar only to get to league play and just kind of sleepwalk and not focus in, not dial in on every game. And eventually that's going to bite you. Like these close wins, I think, are indicators of what could come if Memphis isn't more careful. And I think that is why folks are critical.
Yeah,
I get what I completely get and subscribe to partly what EP is saying in terms of we said this season coming in, he's saying don't move the goalpost essentially. You said that coming into the season, making the tournament was the goal. And so as he put it in caps, damn what the seed is. And I can completely understand where he's coming from with that, because we try to be careful about not moving goalposts and keeping the expectation the same from the beginning to the end. What's clear, though, to me, Parth, I wonder if you agree, though, is that you know, when you've been in that tournament, and yes, hopefully you get back, and that was the lowest expectation, make the tournament.
Yes.
You've been an 8 or a 9, and that's typically where they put – and you had played your way out of that with how well you had played. And
well
so,
out of that.
So the concern, and I suppose what EP would say is nitpicking, is just about not giving back what you've earned, right? Of course,
correct.
The expectation is still to make the tournament, but you've done more than that, and you don't want to give it back.
100%. And, like, the way they're playing now, we talked about it off air, they will end up giving a lot of that back. If they're not careful. Lenardi's got him as a 5 seed as of this morning, which is good. That's great. But I think they're definitely trending downward in that regard. Like, if Memphis drops, let's say, one more game, right? You lose a seed line there, you're a 6 seed then. And, you know, who's to say they won't drop 2 more? Now, all of a sudden, you're at a 7, which is dangerously close to that 8-9 spot.
Yeah.
So, with all the good work you did from November 4th when the season began through December, 28th when you played Ole Miss, and even the FAU game, like, they flashed their potential and they kind of teased folks with what this team could be. We saw it. We saw a team that a lot of us said, you know, y'all on the radio and me in my writing and whatever, could make a Sweet 16 run, if not better. And now that team is just nowhere to be found in the past 3-4 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, again, we'll see. I think Sunday will tell us a lot. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, because you could say that Wichita State's a brand. They stink. And everybody knows it. Like, they're not anywhere close to what they once were. You know, East Carolina, you got Cisco out there balling. I mean, it's just a joke. All of it's a joke. But if you come out Sunday and you don't take care of business, then yes, I will certainly be quite concerned, you know, about this team and what. As of now, I still feel like I feel like they will take care of business, you know, against this UAB team. It was interesting, you know, Penny talked about he understands it now. Like, he knows he's been coaching the wrong way.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird to say, isn't it?
It's kind of, 19 games in the season, you're saying you've been coaching the wrong way. It's a little concerning, but.
Like, do you think that's him just, like, trying to push a button, or, like, what do you think is going on there?
I think a little bit of button pushing is there for sure. And a little bit is, like, just kind of you're fresh off, you know, although you won, you're fresh off the emotion of that disappointment in the performance, right? Like, you're angry. And he said it himself. Penny said he was pissed off. He told us that when he got to the presser, so. Coming right off that, like, obviously you're more critical of yourself, you're more critical of your team. I think it's a little bit hyperbolic is what I'm saying. When he said that he was coaching the wrong way, that's a little bit far. They did win, you know, a lot of big games with him coaching, right? But I do think, in particular, the offense needs to be reined in, and the guys who have the freedom and the leverage and the opportunity to make decisions need to be numbered down. To maybe 2 or 3 guys rather than 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Got to find a way to get good Moose on a consistent basis. Just 3 rebounds for your starting center is just, it's hurting you.
Yeah, and they got out-rebounded again last night, you know.
4 of 6 in the AAC. Yep. Can come back to bite you, especially against a team like UAB. So you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Playing with fire, like our man Doster put it. I think he's about right.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing with.
Right now it's just playing. That's the okay thing.
Exactly. And that's what Penny kind of talked about with the decision to, you know, either start Dane over Musa or go, you know, with four guards instead of three. You know, you kind of lose that physicality that you have when a 6'11 big man's in the, you know, in the paint grabbing rebounds and blocking shots, but you've got to get the Musa that we saw against Ole Miss.
Exactly.
On an every game basis, yeah. And we just haven't seen that either.
Exactly. So. He is part of the podcast. Read his work at DailyMemphian.com. Join us every Friday here on the show. Tigers back in action on Sunday, 12 o'clock, UAB. It's a big one, obviously. Parth, appreciate you, my friend, as always.
Appreciate
thank you,
brother.
Thank you.
We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN. Over at Zen Sports, that's where you should be betting. Especially during the month of January, where they have the VIP Players Club sweepstakes for January. Prizes are raised to a whole new level. One grand prize winner wins a $10,000 bonus bet on the NFL game in February and $10,000 cash. That's a great deal to me. You earn entries on every bet you place in January and every dollar that you wager. If you don't win the grand prize, it's okay. You got a shot to win one of five smaller prizes, which grant you either $1,000 bonus bet on that game or $250 cash. Sign up using promo code Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N. You get 500 bonus entries in addition to the entries that you earn from your bets. So that puts you right there in the mix. Zen Sports, Z-E-N Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Thanks to part of the podcast for joining us there in that last segment. Obviously, yes, we would all like to see Memphis, you know, win with margin. But you know, it's not us just saying that because we want to feel comfortable. It's not. It's just that there's things to be gained by doing that, right? And there's things that you kind of lose out on when you don't. It's not like, oh, we think Memphis should win every game by 20 just because they're Memphis. You know, we're not just making these numbers up, pulling these numbers out of thin air. And these are what KenPom and Torvik had that as a 17-point win last night. I mean, he had them all the way out to 17. So, you know, again, you keep letting these metrics down. I mean, it catches up with you, and you have the best, you know, one of the best non-conference resumes in all of college basketball, and you're sitting there at 40th in the net. I mean, that's why.
Well, it also harkens back to, and again, I'm not comparing the situation, suggesting this is what's going to happen for this Memphis team, but last year at 15-2 and 4-0, while you've won, you're 4-0 in the league, but what was happening, you were giving up 50-point halves to like UTSA and yep. some of these other teams, and we said, this is concerning. Yep. You know, we weren't blind. It goes to the way that they were playing and how different that was seemingly from the non-conference. Again, it's a situation where, listen, we're all happy they're winning. And yes, that's better than the alternative and you appreciate it. But you're disregarding your eyeballs. What we're seeing, if we're not saying this is getting worse, they're turning the ball over more now than they were against better competition, yep. that could come back and cost you. Where Elliot is right is that this is it. If Penny makes the tournament as an 8 or a 9 seed, we said that was the goal.
Yep.
But the way you get excitement back, right, the way you really cash in
yep.
is getting the best seed now that you've done this great work to go get it, now that you're positioned to do it, is get this great seed so that it can be more than just a return. Sure, we'll be fine.
Yep.
Make the tournament, you hit the goal. But there's more to be gained this season.
Absolutely.
This team's capable of it. Penny's capable of it. You don't want to squander that, John.
That's it.
So that's why the level of concern is high, even though you're 5-1 through conference.
Right.
Guys, we're just coming off a season where everything, you know, was great. But there were signs there. Penny was telling you that, hey, behind the scenes, there's some stuff going on y'all don't know about. Those were things that came back and killed you.
Yep.
Ultimately squandered the chance to make the tournament, period. Now, that's not going to happen this year.
Right.
I don't tell you that you are not going to have the wheels come off. But you do not want to go from a 5 to an 8 or a 9, you know? And because, again, excitement, getting people to believe again the program, getting butts in seats and real excitement and buzz around this program is making a push,
yep.
getting past a first weekend. And that opportunity feels like it's there. No one's saying that's the expectation now.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's not the expectation.
But that's where
but
you are.
But it's there to be had.
Yeah.
So you don't want to squander. You don't want to waste it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is the whole key. Is that, yeah, we didn't expect Memphis to be in a spot where they would be a 4 or 5 seed potentially, but they're here now. And so the way that you would obviously maximize your probability, you know, you don't want to start your tournament life as a coin flip. You don't want to do that, right? Which is what you would be if you're an 8-9.
Well, and we keep saying, you know, you go through and you play the 1. There's no guarantee you come through the 8-9.
Yeah,
look at the FAU year. What are we talking about here? You lose that game, like you said.
So, you know, you got to give yourself the chance, right? And again, Memphis is winning the games, And so I don't think like they go from like a 5 to a 7. But what it does do is when you do, and if you do lose that game, you're going to get punished more because people are just going to be able to say, well, they've been kind of, you know, dilly-dallying anyway. They've been kind of flirting with this. They're just not that impressive. So you will. Like, you'll get dropped from a 5 to a 7 probably if you lose on Sunday, if you lose, you know. I mean, is there a quad 2 game? I guess at UAB would be a quad 2 loss, right?
I think Wichita State might still be,
okay,
at least according to KenPom. Yeah, so, Wichita State and at UAB are,
yeah, that's
chances
it
to be quad 2.
I mean, honestly, those are the only games you could think about losing, you know, without getting a serious, serious dent in your resume. And I wouldn't say there'd be shame in that. I mean, I wouldn't say there'd be shame in losing, you know, a quad 2 road game. It's like Temple, right? But understand that any other game is going to be punitive, extremely. You're going to be on the 7 line probably if you lose to, you know, and again, I don't think they will, but even Sunday, I mean, I'd be interested to see what, because would it be a quad 3 loss at home?
Well, I'm assuming it's quad 3.
Yeah.
Based on that I don't have their net in front of me, but they're 106 at KenPom. I'm assuming that's where UAB is around about the net.
Yeah, because they already have one quad 3 loss. And that's Arkansas State. So this would be now their second. They'd be 2-2 against quad 3 opponents if they lose on Sunday. So and that's not good enough. That's not a 5 seed. That's not a 6 seed. You know, I'm just telling you, it's not. So it's important, man. It's important to lose the right combination of games. If you're going to lose games, you got to make sure it's the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
And also when you have the opportunity, so as to give yourself that cushion, that buffer. Like, hey, look, it's one road loss. They've beaten everybody else by 20. Margin, you know, it's not just us saying that because we think Memphis should be doing it. It's that's how you insulate yourself from getting, you know, punished. So
good luck on your Commanders bet this weekend.
Yeah, thanks. I'm gonna need a lot of luck on both. But it should be a hell of a weekend for NFL football on Sunday. Got Commanders, Eagles, and then of course Chiefs, Bills. So we'll know who's in the Super Bowl come Monday. Should be a lot of fun. Going to do it for us today. Thanks to Parth Upadhyay for joining us on the show. Thanks to Rob Doster as well. Jeffrey and company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.